On September 10, 2025, Utah Valley University, Charlie Kirk, the co-founder of Turning Point USA, was assassinated. Has the United States reached a tipping point? Charlie Kirk on this slice of fresh bread. Welcome to Fresh Bread, a podcast ministry of Grace Bible Church, Gainesville, with Pastor Brandon and Pastor Keith. Well, thanks for clicking on Fresh Bread. Fresh Bread, where we're bringing the truth of God's Word to a starving world. Fresh Bread, podcast 119. I'm Pastor Keith, he's Pastor Brandon, and today we're going to tackle the subject of what happened in the news with Charlie Kirk. Charlie Kirk is a young man who started an organization called Turning Point USA, and he was a young guy that would go on to college campuses and debate people. And if you ever watched him, he wasn't rude or very prideful. He was very cordial and had some talks. In fact, he was just in Florida in February. He was in the University of Florida campus and did his thing there. And he was in Utah and was assassinated today. And so we just wanted to come on and do a podcast on that and what's happening, what's going on. Have we reached a turning point in our country where, you know, things are just out of control, where people can't control their emotions anymore? And so we're just going to kind of talk about it today, what happened. And so, Pastor Brandon, I just want your thoughts on what happened with the assassination of Charlie Kirk.
Well, I mean, all we know at this point is that, you know, he was shot. And so, yeah, I mean, he was basically doing one of his events on campus, which he does very often. I mean, what he does is he goes on campus and he debates. He debates people who don't agree with him, and he presents them with, you know, the truth, and, you know, is able to, and he's very articulate, very, very gifted communicator, and he's very smart and quick-witted, is able to, you know, do the turn of phrase, you know, without even thinking. And so, you know, he's definitely, you know, going to be missed in his, you know, with what he's doing, because he had a huge impact on young people, especially, you know, people that were in college, and, you know, they were listening to him. He was someone in their generation that was saying things that they had never heard, because they've been, you know, they haven't been in situations where they would hear these things. And I think that, you know, that he was a breath of fresh air because of that. And, you know, a lot of people believe that Charlie Kirk is the reason why Trump ended up getting elected, you know, in this last election. I mean, I think there were several other factors, but he certainly contributed to what happened. And so, yeah, it's a huge loss, and, you know, something that as Christians we need to try to understand, you know, how to respond to this.
You watch the tape of his what happened in Utah. And the crowds was amazing. They said 3,000. I was thinking he could draw 500, you know, kids maybe, but there were 3,000 people there.
Yeah, 3,000 people midday on a Wednesday.
Yeah,
I mean that's crazy. I mean, it's crazy stuff that he was that, and people really came out to see him. People, and it wasn't just people from the campus; it was people from all around who would come in to that area and see him, or, you know, had come into that area to see him. And yeah, so it speaks to his popularity for sure.
Yeah, and it's funny because I was just watching a clip on him earlier this week and he had somebody came up to the microphone, and he always asked people who were opposed to him to speak, you know, let them come to the front of the line. And this guy was asking him questions about, you know, do you believe in the Bible? Are you a Christian? He said, did you know that the Bible condones slavery? And then they had an interesting back and forth on that. And I thought Charlie did a good job. And I know he wasn't a Christian earlier in his career, but I don't know the exact how it happened, but he became a Christian.
Yeah,
and wasn't shy on that.
Yeah, Al Mohler did his briefing this morning about it, and he actually spoke about, you know, when he met Charlie Kirk, and he said he was very impressed by how he handled himself publicly, but that he wasn't as impressed with him privately, you know, that he basically basically what he said, he didn't think he was a Christian at first, and that he was trying to basically that, you know, in Mueller's words, there's two types of conservatism. There's the basically like a conservatism that's like secular conservatism, and that takes all the principles of conservatism and applies them. But then there's a Christian conservatism that understands that God and his word is the basis, the foundation, the support of the truth of the law, and how we, and it tells us how we should act as people, and it tells us the value of human life. And, you know, so there's the two different camps within conservatism. And he said early on in his career that Charlie Kirk was definitely in the more secular camp, and as a matter of fact, saw Christianity as a liability to moving forward. And but something changed as time went on. Mueller seemed to think it was probably his being married and having children, and he says that that obviously brings maturity and deeper meaning to our lives, and so but somewhere along the line he began to understand that a Christian worldview is the foundation for an understanding of the law and how the law should be applied in a nation.
Yeah, it's interesting because we've been doing podcasts on Doug Wilson and Christian nationalism, and Kirk was considered a Christian nationalist. He advocated for the end of separation of church and state. He also stated that one of the reasons he kind of believed that we're living through a constitutional crisis because we no longer have a Christian nation, but we have a Christian form of government, and they're incompatible. He said that you cannot have liberty if you do not have a Christian population. But it's interesting that when we're talking about Christian nationalism, and then this is going on, and then he ends up getting assassinated.
Yeah. I mean, it is the timing's interesting, but yeah, I mean, he definitely was a guy that, it's interesting to me. I think he was a Christian. I think he truly loved the Lord, but it's interesting to me that, God uses a guy like that and, moves him from a more secular mindset to now a more biblical mindset, over several years in his life and his work. But he's just saying the things that the church ought to be saying, that we ought to be, we are the pillar and support of the truth. We ought to be preaching the very things that Charlie Kirk was saying. We ought to be saying those very things. A lot of times we're not, we're absent from the public square. And, we're not seen as people to look to understand the truth. So again, we're failing at being the pillar and the support of the truth.
Yeah. I mean, he was extremely biblical on abortion. He wasn't shy on that. Gun rights in the Second Amendment, very strong against LGBTQ issues as well. In fact, I think he was speaking about transgender shootings when he was assassinated.
Yeah, he was answering a question. Yeah. Some questions about transgender shootings, and that's when he was assassinated.
It's weird because he was kind of against everything that most college students are for, even Israel. He was a supporter of Israel.
Yeah, he was definitely a guy that swam upstream. I mean, he didn't go with the flow. And he was willing to, in his manner. I mean, he wasn't confrontational in the sense of just being for the confrontational sake, for the sake of being confrontational. But he was confrontational in the sense that he was willing to take what is the narrative, the public narrative, the public understanding of some of these things, and turn them upside down and show how empty those arguments are. And, you know, and ultimately because of that, I think that's why he was assassinated. We don't know for sure at this point. Although I did read somewhere, and this is kind of, they found the rifle that he was shot with. And there's word out that that rifle has LGBT stuff written on it. Similar to the one that happened, you know, the trans that walked into the Catholic school and had all these things, you know, stenciled on her guns. I haven't verified that to be the case, but that's what I did read.
Wow. That would be, there's something going on. So let me ask you, do you think, like I said, we've been doing these podcasts on Doug Wilson. Do you think Doug Wilson is in danger, that he needs to, you know, beef up his security, or any conservative? Is this stuff going to happen more, or do you think this is a one-time, you know, event that happened and now it's going to end?
Even this wasn't a one-time event, because, you know, you had the assassination attempt on Donald Trump in July, I think, of last year. And, you know, before the election. And so, I mean, I see it as the same kind of thing. And so I don't think we can be assured that this is a one-off. I think it could very well be that we're going to go through a season of where this hatred and vitriol over, you know, boils over, and there's going to be, you know, there's going to be people who are going to resort to violence.
I was going to ask, I think I've asked you this already a couple times in podcasts, but are we kind of heading for a, I know you've said it's a non-military civil war, but are we heading in a direction where our country is so divided that it can't survive?
Yeah. I mean, we're going through a civil war right now. I mean, there are two definitive sides. There's the, you know, we call it the left or progressives, and then there's the conservatives on the other side of the aisle. And, you know, we are locked in a battle for the heart of this nation. Now, for the most part, it has been a bloodless civil war. Although there have been some casualties, as you know, with Charlie Kirk, but I don't know where this is going. I mean, I don't, you know, in terms of the future of our nation, I don't know where this is going. I know this, that if the Democrats are in charge, there's 50% of the country that won't be happy about it and will see it as a threat. And then on the other side, if there's a conservative that's been elected, there's 50% of the country that sees that as a threat. And, you know, obviously that number fluctuates, but yeah, I mean, I don't know how we move forward in that way, you know, and it's interesting because we're sort of separating ourselves, and so to speak, because, you know, you have, you know, so many blue states, you know, like New York and California and Washington and Oregon, and, you know, those places that, you know, are predominantly liberal. But then you have, on the other side, you have conservative states like Florida, Texas, and, you know, a large portion of, you know, the rural states. And, you know, so we are separating ourselves in that sense, but I don't know. I mean, I don't know how long.
Yeah. And so I'm just going to ask you, I've been hearing this a lot. Are we at a tipping point? Is this event going to be a game changer, or is it just another, you know, we've been down this road before where, you know, people have been assassinated? And
yeah, I think it is a game changer, because I think it's opened the eyes of people. You know, it's interesting. You're not as on social media as much as I am, but it's interesting because my social media feed was dominated by people talking about Charlie Kirk. And I think there's something that resonates with people with this situation, because he has a young family, is, you know, beautiful wife and two young daughters, and you know, he spoke the truth and was willing to, you know, he was a guy that was well, you know, he was well-spoken, he communicated well, and, you know, he's a guy that's influenced especially a lot of young people. And so there's something that that's something that's resonating with people with this. And I think that there's people who, you know, that have tried to remain neutral who have realized that they can't be neutral in this. And so I don't know what that means. I don't know, you know, how that's going to play itself out. But I do know that as Christians, we should be, you know, we should be on the forefront of preaching the truth. We should be on the forefront of speaking the truth. And my hope is that the turning point here is that there'll be an army of people raised up speaking the truth like Charlie Kirk did in their own context. Obviously, he had a audience that's much larger than most of us. But if there's an army of people speaking the same things and speaking the truth of the, you know, God's word, then, you know, maybe the turning point is that, you know, we win this nation back.
Yeah, that's the thing is when you, I don't know if people are aware sometimes when you assassinate someone who is popular, the movement grows even stronger because, like you said, more now instead of one Charlie Kirk, you could have a million young Charlie Kirks going to college campuses.
Or even just being salt and light where they are, whether they actually, you know, take up his mantle and go to college campuses or not, and just being, just basically representing the truth wherever they are is, you know, if there's an army of people who do that, I think that makes a huge, will make the difference in our nation.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And kind of piggybacking on this, you know, Charlie was a Christian who's on the campuses, who's debating politics and religion. He was debating, you know, people would stand up and, like I said, and ask him questions about slavery in the Bible. And so how can we address when people would say, look, Christians have no business being in politics. They have no business debating political issues. They should just be giving the gospel and that's it. So how do we answer that?
Well, I think that that's a misunderstanding of what we should be doing because, you know, it's interesting because we talked about the three spheres. We talked about the family, the church, and the government. Well, you know, there's nothing biblically that would say that we as Christians shouldn't be involved in all three spheres. We should for sure be involved in government. You know, now it's like I said, you know, for most Christians, that's going to mean being informed and voting. You know, that's what that's going to mean. And, you know, for some Christians, that could potentially mean running for office, you know, running for school board locally or running for mayor or running for, you know, a city council or whatever position is out there. And so, but I, you know, we need more and more Christians to be engaged and know what's going on. And be willing to speak what is true, you know, in those contexts.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think Christians can pull back and let the world kind of, I mean, I know, and we know God is sovereign, but it's like, it's that let go, let God. He's got it. So all we have to do is not be involved, not care, because it's going to go the way God wants it to. But I think in Genesis, it talks about being, you know, have dominion and be good stewards. And all that is kind of included with law and order. And especially like you just talked about school boards and how important is that? I mean, public schools, like we've talked about this many times in podcasts, have just gone completely, again, I'll use Doug Wilson's phrase, clown world. I mean, it's just nuts in the stuff that you're seeing in schools.
For sure. I mean, part of that is because schools are really not, education of the children is not the responsibility of the state. It's really the right. responsibility of the family. And so it's a misplaced, you know, the what we're doing is misplaced. And so, but, you know, we do have the public school system and, you know, I think that Christians definitely need to be, you know, I think they need to realize that they're responsible for the education of their children. And, you know, whether we give, you know, that part may, you know, you may say, well, we're going to just withdraw out of that area and we're just going to, you know, have, you know, go to Christian schools and homeschooling. And that's a viable choice. I mean, it's a viable choice. But if you're going to involve your children in public education, you definitely need to be, you know, engaged in understanding what's going on and, you know, have your voice out there. You know, I don't recommend it. I mean, in terms of public school for children, I recommend homeschool or Christian school, but But yeah, I mean, I think that if, you know, as Christians, we definitely have to be engaged in those ways.
Right. And I think that's what happened when they took prayer out of the schools. Many Christians kind of pull back. And I mean, I don't think there's anything wrong with homeschooling either. I think that's a good way to go. But I think what happened is so many Christians pulled out. And then all of a sudden that vacuum, we talked about a vacuum one time. The vacuum is filled with political activists and people who have an agenda of bringing in homosexual and LGBTQ and all this stuff. And so now all of a sudden that's all they're teaching in schools because the Christians have all abandoned ship. And like, I don't see anything wrong with pulling back and redrawing the line. You know, like, I mean, in a battle, sometimes you have to withdraw to kind of regroup and then, but you know, we know God's in control. We know God's sovereign and we know things are happening the way it's supposed to in that way area. But I'm just saying, and I think we talked about in our last podcast, why did the church pull back and allow, you know, things in politics to not be influenced by Christian? And you get all this weird stuff going on. And then you have moments like what happened with Charlie Kirk, where people all of a sudden wake up and they start to see, this is how did we get here? Like, how did we end up with this, where a guy's on a college campus handing out hats, debating students, and he gets assassinated because he says something that offended somebody?
Yeah. I mean, it's a great question. It's one that we really need to try to understand.
But I think if Christians continue to pull back, we're going to see more and more of that. We know that God has an agenda and God's plan is going to be fulfilled. But I do think he expects Christians to live a life that is faithful and responsible. Like, we can't, you know, like we always talk about, you can't just let go, let God. You it's like our sanctification. We are working that out.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's exactly right. And I think yesterday I talked about 2 Thessalonians, and that was the issue with the Thessalonians, is that they believe Christ was returning at any time, and so they were withdrawing from, they were quitting their jobs and they weren't doing the things that they ought to be doing, and you know, Christ expects us to remain faithful until he comes. And so, you know, part of being faithful is being salt and light in this, you know, in a lost and dying world. And so when we pull out of the public square, I mean, we're leaving it to the ungodly ones, and you know, we're leaving it to you know, worldly people. And I don't think that's what God would have us do. Even though, you know, do we lose down here? I actually think yes. I think that we do. I think that ultimately that the power of Satan is going to overcome, and Christ is going to have to return and set things right. But that doesn't mean that we just kind of let go and let God, as you said.
Yeah, I mean, I think there are many people that the stomach for politics is so hard now. Like, if you even go to a school board meeting, it's, you know, if you're a Christian, you're going to probably be escorted out pretty quickly because, oh, that's hate speech. And, you know, but again, we got to this point where there is hate speech. And I think you and I both as pastors know that there's coming a day when the Bible is going to be considered hate speech. And so, sorry, you can't preach that anymore. As Christians, we don't care. We're going to keep preaching it because that's what we're mandated to do by God. But that's what happens when you kind of sit on the sidelines and let things happen, is that suddenly the people who are on the other side kind of push harder than you do. And I think you and I know that we understand that, look, if so-and-so is elected and they're just this complete, again, clown world freakazoid, we know that God is sovereign and we know that God puts people into positions of power that he desires. So we go, okay, this isn't what we wanted, but let's go. We're going to continue to preach the word. We're going to continue to equip the saints. But the other side, people who aren't Christians, they live and die by who is elected. Like, it has to be their person, because it's almost like they're worshiping the position of, you know, whoever it is. If Kamala Harris had been elected, the left might have been fine. You know, Charlie Kirk would still be alive today if she was elected. So it's just such a different mindset. And again, I don't know how, I think we're getting to that great divide where, like you just said, we're so divided. Again, we know from what the Bible says that how things are going to go. But again, nothing wrong with what Charlie Kirk was doing. He was engaging in conversation.
Yeah, I mean, he was exercising his First Amendment rights, and he was doing it in a peaceful way.
Yeah.
And, you know, he had his life taken away from him needlessly. And it was because whatever, you know, we don't know who it was, but, you know, we can assume that it was because they didn't like what he was saying. And they didn't like, they didn't like the influence that he was having on young people. And I think it was a threat. And so that's why I think they took him out.
Yeah, it's just amazing how I always wonder, is this the beginning of something? Did somebody have this planned where this is, they're going to try to one by one take out the conservative, the leaders, you know, like I'm thinking, I don't know who's next. I mean, that's why I worry about Doug Wilson right now. I mean, I don't know if he would be someone that would be targeted as well, but I mean, or is it just this some kid, some transgender kid at the university? Must have been a pretty good shot though, because that was a long shot.
Yeah, I mean, they say it was 200 yards, which 200 yard shot, you know, throat shot like that would be very difficult. You know, it's not that it can't be done, you know, but it's not something that somebody who's never shot a rifle is going to be able to do.
That's why some people say it was a deep state kind of thing. I don't really know all of that. Do you think they'll catch the guy?
Well, I think they've made progress in it. They say I was watching a little bit of a news conference earlier, and they say they have some video of the guy, and they won't say specifically what they have, but they talked about using software to identify this person. And so they're not releasing those videos yet. They're trying to identify him using, you know, software. And so, but if they can't do that, then they are, I think, going to release the video. So I don't know if they have a picture of his face or what they have, but it sounds like they have something to go on. You know, they also know he dropped his rifle in the woods, very near where this happened, and he probably fled into a neighborhood. So they have some level of understanding where he went to in the immediate aftermath, but they haven't obviously found, you know, ultimately where he's at.
If this turns out to be a transgender shooter, do you agree with what Donald Trump has said, where that maybe, you know, guns would not be a good option for somebody who is in a transgender transition, whatever they call it?
Yeah, I would have no problem with taking somebody's gun. I mean, I think that it's a mental health issue.
Yeah, I do too.
And I mean, I think that it's a spiritual issue first and foremost, but I think it's also a mental health issue, and I don't think they're stable. And, you know, somebody in that position, not to, you know, just in general, I don't think they're stable, but not to mention the hormone changes that they go through that I think makes it worse or exasperates that. So I have no problem with saying it's a mental condition and they shouldn't own guns, you know, in that situation.
Yeah. And I mean, it's a really sad how it happened on September 10th, and September 11th is, we're coming up on the 24th. Is it the 24th anniversary of 9/11?
24th anniversary. Yes.
Yeah. And it's just, I feel so bad for his wife and kids that, you know, our prayers go out to them. And it's just amazing when you just see how many people he touched, how many lives.
Yeah. I was unaware. I mean, I obviously knew of Charlie Kirk and had listened to, you know, some of his stuff and, you know, really appreciated what he was doing. But I was unaware that he, you know, his death has been, like I say, my social media feed is just full of people responding and, you know, people who love the Lord, and they're responding and, you know, that this is something that's really affecting people. And, you know, I think that's why it's going to be a turning point, whatever that means. Whatever the turning point turns us to, but I do think it's going to be a turning point, because a lot of people have been, you know, involved in this, and a lot of people, it's touched them in terms of what's happened.
Yeah. And I would hate to be, for many reasons, I hate to be the guy who did it, but I think because Donald Trump was a friend of him, and I think Trump's going to have the FBI and every possible way to catch this guy, Trump's going to okay it. You know, like, let's get them.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I wouldn't want to be in their shoes. That's for sure.
No, I don't know where you would hide. I don't know, but we'll see. I mean, it's a weird how some people just disappear. And I, if it's a student, I don't see how he can disappear. If it's like a deep state thing, you never know. I don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. They're saying it's a young person. And
yeah, I heard it was latest, a student, maybe.
Yeah, latest report, the person is college age. So, you know, do they have military background? We don't know at this point, but definitely seems to be someone who, someone who's was young and had it out for, you know, Charlie Kirk for whatever reason.
Yeah, it's been the last since what happened to Donald Trump last July. It's been a lot of shooting and a lot of, you know, almost deaths and deaths. And so we wonder going forward, like we said, we don't know exactly how it's going to go, but it's just, it's sad that we live in this world right now. And I know you and I have talked about when we were young. I mean, I think you kind of look back with nostalgia and how great it was, but I still think it was, you know, life was a little bit better. I've heard you talk about many times that you would just wake up and have breakfast and go outside and your parents didn't see you until, you know, lunch and maybe then supper and they didn't worry about things. But now life is so, it's just weird since technology has kind of jumped in and wrapped up. Our lives are so complicated and so messed up in so many ways.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it definitely has changed since I was a young boy. Life is completely different. And, you know, and it's, and I, these kind of things are continuing to change it. I think that the world we wake up in today is different than the world we woke up in yesterday because of what's happened. And yeah, and I don't know I don't know what that means and how we should respond to it, except to say that, you know, I think as Christians, whatever area of influence that you have, whether it's simply in your family or simply in the church or both, you know, or if you've, you know, your job, you know, wherever you have influence, then I think you need to take to have that influence for Christ and the gospel. And, you know, if you happen to be someone in government, you know, that you need to exercise that influence, you know, for the glory of God. And so I think that's the ultimate answer to this, is that we need to continue being salt and light. We need to continue making disciples of the nations, preaching and teaching and all that he commanded. I think we need to continue doing those things and being faithful. And, you know, this isn't, for me, it's not a call to arms or anything like that, except, you know, not, you know, shooting bullets, but it's a call to arms in the sense of we need to all be Charlie Kirk and in our own context. And I think that's the answer to all of this.
Are we living in a world that, you know, I don't know if you saw what happened to that young girl in the train in Charlotte?
Yeah, Charlotte.
Are we at a point should we live this way that this could be our last day on earth, that you don't know who's behind you, or, you know, there might be someone who has a mental illness who's out there who may push you in front of a train or stab you in the neck, or, you know, as Christians, we're not to live in fear of death. But is that, I mean, are we kind of at that point now where that's just every day we have to?
Yeah, I think we need to live with our head on a swivel. Yeah, that's kind of the, you know, the football talk, but, you know, there's making sure that we're not blindsided. Because I think there are people out there that, you know, I think will continue to be people out there who hate us. You know, they're going to hate what we stand for, if nothing else, because of the color of our skin. I mean, if nothing else, that's what's happening, is because of, you know, the racial tensions that are out there. You know, and why did this black man attack this white girl? I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I've seen the video. It's horrific. And, you know, prior to the Charlie Kirk assassination, it was the biggest news out there. And you know, it was the biggest news in terms of, I mean, it seemed like almost that was a turning point, you know, like people were just up in arms about it. But then obviously with the Charlie Kirk thing, that has kind of gone away a little bit. But yeah, I mean, I think as Christians, we definitely need to have our head on a swivel, and we need to be looking around us and, you know, we need to be willing to protect others that, you know, are innocent. And, you know, that was what was hard to watch, other than the actual act. But it was hard to watch the response of people, because there were people like literally right around this girl and they didn't even do anything. They just kind of ignored it and sat there. And I don't understand it. I don't understand that kind of response.
I think part of that, when you see that video, might have been shock. Like, they couldn't believe that had just happened because it was so weird. Because you don't see that every day. Just somebody stand up who's sitting behind someone and stab him in the neck. Like, it just
doesn't. Yeah, I've never seen that. No. So, yes.
It isn't. It's so weird. And I just want to, before we end this, I just want to ask you, you're preaching through Matthew, and you went through the dynamic when Jesus came the first time, that the spirit world, the dynamic world, kicked into a little bit higher gear. And so I'm just going to ask you, as we're living in these days, do you think that the evilness of our world has kind of is kicking up and becoming more and more prevalent? Or are we just seeing people who have mental illness? Or what do you think's going on?
Oh, I think there's a resurgence of demonic activity. And, you know, I think that a lot of things that we're seeing out there that are going on is stuff that's spiritual in nature. And, you know, whether it's, you know, we've talked about on this podcast, we've talked about UFOs and, you know, what they are. I think that's demonic. We've talked about advancements such as AI and other advancements. I think that there is a potential that there's a demonic force behind those advancements. And so, yes, I have no problem thinking that, you know, that and believing that we're seeing more and more demonic activity as the end comes nearer.
You know, some people believe it's the 5G and all these microwaves and things like that are causing people to go nuts, cell phones. But I mean, that could be a part of it. But I think it's a lot of, we talk about living in the end times. End times started, you know, when Jesus ascended. But we know that we are living in times that, when the Bible talks about, you know, we're getting close to the second coming. We don't know when it is. But we know that things are getting worse and darker. We're not post-mill, but, you know, and we're not defeatists. We just believe in, you know, continuing to preach the gospel, and Jesus will come and set up his kingdom. So, yes. Yeah, Charlie Kirk, we just wanted to come on and touch on that. And I know everyone probably listening to this has already heard all about it, but we just wanted to give our sympathies and our prayers to the family. And it's a horrible way to go. It's a horrible thing that happened. But our world, it's funny because sometimes we hear these things and they become almost normal. Oh, okay, another someone's shot. Okay. Mm. Mm. It's just that sad.
That is a sad commentary.
Yeah.
This has kind of become basically our new normal. And that's a sad fact. But yeah, we definitely feel for the family, Charlie's wife and surviving kids, and we definitely pray for them and hope that the Lord will comfort their hearts and that they'll look to the Lord and not, you know, that they would rest in him and, you know, that they would just take solace in the fact that God used Charlie in the way he did, and that even though his life was cut short from our point of view, you know, God's sovereign over all these things, and he used Charlie in the way that he wanted to use him. And so now he's taking him home to be with him. And so we're thankful for that. And we're blessed by understanding that.
Absolutely. And if there's anybody listening to us right now and they're not sure they're saved, or they've never, you know, never embraced Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, you know, shoot us an email or something. We'd be glad to talk to you about it, because you need to live every day in Christ and not knowing when your time is up, because you don't know. We live in a strange world.
Yeah. Charlie didn't wake up yesterday thinking this could be it.
No.
I mean, I'm sure of that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, he probably knew that could happen at any point, but yeah, I don't think he thought, oh, today's the day. So.
Yeah, it's one of those moments where the Lord takes someone home and you don't understand it, but we know that he does, and so we have to trust that. And like you always say, God is good. Everything he does is good, and we don't understand it, but we just trust him.
Yep. Absolutely.
You've been listening to Fresh Bread, a podcast ministry of Grace Bible Church Gainesville. For more information, go to gracegainesville.org. And thanks for listening.